Hey, let me take a minute and talk about one of our newest sponsors, Lifetime Windows and Siding. You've probably heard me talk about them for a long time, and that's because they are the most trusted siding company in Colorado. There are a lot of reasons to choose Lifetime Windows and Siding, from their lifetime warranty that covers all labor and materials to their no-pressure sales approach to a quick and efficient installation. Lifetime Windows and Siding has everything that you need, and that includes the highest quality products. They're the number one Infinity from Marvin and the number one James Hardy dealer in the U.S., both, by the way, top-of-the-line brands. So what does that mean for you? It means you're going to save time and money on maintenance and feel great about the choices that you've made. Check it out for yourself. Head to LifetimeWindows.com to start transforming your home with the ones you trust. Hey, let me take a minute and talk to you about Molly's Spirits. Well, we do love them. What a great time of year to stop out and check out what they have. Molly's Spirits has you covered. For those whiskey lovers, how about Elijah Craig's small batch of Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, which boasts an aroma of sweet apple and caramel with taste of candied cherries and spices. Does that sound good or what? Is your host a beer lover? Kick off the Christmas kegger with Breckenridge Christmas Ale with taste of caramel and chocolate that brings the feeling of holiday cheer. Or how about trying something maybe a little bit different and gather around the fire with a warm cup of Kurosawa Black River Komodo Sake. Say that 10 times. What a great and unique idea for a gift. All you have to do is head to mollyspirits.com and check out their host gifts for the holidays. To get even more ideas, or just head into their Lakeside location, which is 44th and Harlan, or the DTC location, which is I-25 and Arapahoe, on the west side just next to Sprouts. Trust me on this, you will love Molly's. Molly's Spirits, the land of holiday adult beverage discovery.
This week on the Dave Logan Podcast, guest host Mike Rice and Julie Brauman talk about what we're looking for in the next Broncos head coach.
We need John Fox 2.0. We need a veteran coach who's had some success to steady the ship.
And what do we need to see from the team in their final game of the season?
I want to see Russell Wilson make some plays.
Go find a way to win a game. Go do some good things. Leave this terrible season on a winning note.
This is the Dave Logan Podcast.
Welcome to 2023 and episode 151 of the Dave Logan Podcast. Dave Logan will be back next week to talk about all the firings that we had and the end of the season. I can't believe, well, God, thank God it's the end of the season. Mike Rice filling in for Dave today. And do you kind of feel like that too? Like, thank God it's going to be over.
It's been a long haul, hasn't it? 17th game coming up, and that's still new, I think, for everybody. But yeah, it's been a long haul. It's been a long, arduous journey for the Broncos, and not a good one.
So I have to give you a compliment. I really try and listen to the post game after every game, and listen to some of the, so I get Dave and Rick's comments and the interviews, and then I like to hear you. You have such wonderful patience. Is it toast at this point? Only in that there's, people are so frustrated that.
I am too.
Right.
We all are.
Right.
I think anybody who follows the Broncos, and I do root for the Broncos as a fan.
Yeah.
Anyone and everyone is frustrated, not only at how things have gone this year, but the context is since Super Bowl 50, right? So this is seven straight years of non-playoff football, and for the most part, pretty bad football and horrible offensive football. So I think that's why the frustration level gets so acute with fans. Once you got past, I don't know, maybe week 12 or 13, and everybody knew, okay, kiss this year off for the Broncos, then it sort of dies down, but you could feel the angst growing up until that point. And then, you know, then they had the little flash of a win against the Cardinals and a pretty good game against the Chiefs. And, oh, maybe they're putting things together, and then the debacle on Christmas Day. So, yeah, it's frustrating for sure. Fans deserve better. They really do. And Greg Penner says the same thing. So that doesn't come from me. That comes from the Broncos themselves.
So you did mention this yesterday after the Chiefs game, which we'll talk about a little bit, but that I think you said there was a little sense, you felt a little sense of excitement in that they've already started reportedly talking to people, already making moves. Like you mentioned that Penner went to NFL headquarters, mm-hmm. I believe, to talk about the injuries. I think I kind of agree. Like, okay, this shit is over. Whatever this was, this is over. And they didn't get into this to be the laughingstock of the league.
No.
Far from it.
That's the thing. And I understand the frustration at the Broncos as an entity, right? But this ownership group, to me, I have to give them a chance to walk out what they say they're going to do or say what they want to do. That's just fair to me. I get some people are just emotional and just, you know, get clean house already, whether it be with players, coaches, which is going to happen, or even the ownership. But I think the owners are going to do what they say they're going to do. I think Greg Penner means business. I don't think any of them paid whatever it was, $5 billion or $4.5 billion for this franchise to, as you said, be the laughingstock and everybody else go, yeah, see, those are the new guys. They have no idea what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be bottom feeders. And that doesn't mean every decision they make is going to be right, but I think they're going to be aggressive in the decisions they make and they're going to try and make the right ones. So we'll have to see. But the first thing I want to see is what are they going to do? Now, reportedly, they've already reached out to Jim Harbaugh as one example. They say they're going to identify their guy and do spare nothing to go get the coach they want. Okay, well, they've started that process. It's not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. They say they're going to evaluate every last part of the football operations. They've already started on the medical, the training, and that side of it. Before the season even ended, Greg Penner was in New York, what, several weeks ago? And nobody really knew that. I mean, he doesn't advertise this.
So
and he
there,
shouldn't advertise
you it. You mentioned he was there to talk to the NFL about why does this keep happening over and over again with these injuries?
Right. Situation. My understanding is he went there to have the NFL look at the way they do their training and nutrition and strength and conditioning and all of those things to see what are we missing or what are we doing that could potentially be leading to these injuries. I mean, and Dave has talked about it during the broadcast all year long, all the hamstring injuries this year. Mm-hmm. It's not just this year, Julie, though. I mean, you think back to the last 3 or 4 years, the Broncos have been beset by injuries. I mean, at some point, you may not find any huge revelation that you've overlooked something or are doing something wrong, but you've got to at least take a look at it, and you can't be afraid to say, hey, from some people who have been in this a while, what do you think of our program? Because we got 25, 26, 28 guys mm-hmm. on IR, and we've got almost $60 million that's off the field right now. And that's for a team that's in a team and an organization that's trying to raise itself up from the ash heap and the scrap heap, you can't have that.
So it sounds like the Broncos, though, have no bargaining power. If you're talking about the Sean Paytons, which is a different situation, or the Jim Harbaughs, which would take a lot of money, you already come out and pretty much say, we're going to do whatever we need to do to make this better. Any coach out there knows that they're in a desperate situation, but they do have the money to do it.
They have the money, and coaches, all football coaches, you know this, they all believe they're the ones that can turn it around. Because they believe in themselves and in their plan and in their guys and in their ability to, you know, make the right decisions from a personnel standpoint. I think the challenge with the Broncos is, okay, you've got major questions at quarterback. You've got draft capital that's lower than usual. And you've got a salary cap situation that doesn't seem to be all that favorable right now. So there are certainly some challenges. But if you're Jim Harbaugh and you're thinking, it's a chance to win a Lombardi, and you've got the richest owners in the National Football League owning this team. If they wanted to, Julie, they could say, Coach Harbaugh, here's $72 million for 6 years. I mean, they could put $12 million a year down for Jim Harbaugh. His buyout at Michigan, from what I read, is $3 million. That's like you and I going out to lunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
a really good lunch, but yes.
Yeah, of course, yeah. A really good lunch. But I think they're going to walk that talk. We'll see. That doesn't mean they're going to get Jim Harbaugh, but I think they're going to try.
Is this an appealing gig, right? So we know, right, you mentioned a lot that the money would be appealing, but is there other choices out there? I think Carolina, India fired their coaches.
But Carolina, right, Steve Wilks is the interim there and has done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
It sounds like Cliff Kingsbury could be on his way out in Arizona.
Right.
And Indianapolis is open. Frank Reich was fired. And I don't think Jeff Saturday will get that gig permanently.
No. God,
doesn't look like it.
No.
So I think Jim Irsay will probably be aggressive too in identifying that guy. I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's, I'm sure there, Pete Carroll might be out in Seattle. He might decide to be out, or there's been some rumblings that, you know, maybe he and the GM haven't seen eye to eye on things, and this could be his last year. And they've kind of fallen off a little bit since a decent start. And they've got some questions, although they are well stocked in draft picks, thanks to the Broncos.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I don't particularly, if I'm a coach, and I'm not, Dave could speak to this a whole lot better, but if I'm going to take an NFL head coaching job, the first thing I'm going to look at is the quarterback. And I think that's probably why Sean Payton would look at Dallas and his ties with Jerry Jones. Dak Prescott's at least pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Chargers would make a move entering the playoffs, although if they don't win a game or two, I could see them bidding adieu to Brandon Staley if they can get Sean Payton. If Sean McVay steps away from the Rams, and Dave had reported when the Broncos were down there around Christmas that the word is that if McVay is going to go to TV, it might not be after a tough year like this. He might not want to leave on that note.
Mm-hmm.
But if that job opens, you know, Matthew Stafford is still there and still, I think, has some decent football left. I think there are more appealing jobs, is what I'm saying, than the Broncos gig. That doesn't mean they'll be without a good coach. I still think it's going to come down to Harbaugh or Dan Quinn. And I know Benjamin Albright has been saying that, but that just, those two choices make the most sense to me. They cannot get Sean Payton. They don't have the draft capital, in my opinion, to give up for.
And maybe the appealing situation, the total combo, right?
Right.
It just, it
does. Because if they give up draft capital to get Sean Payton, then Sean Payton's thinking, okay, now they have even less. Do I really right. want to take that gig?
And it all depends on what that particular coach thinks about Russell Wilson. And I know that you have said before that you don't believe that he's lost everything. And I think I agree that it's very rare to see, you just don't see somebody fall straight off the cliff, yeah. Thelma and Louise style.
Well, right. I agree with that. And even against the Chiefs this past weekend at Arrowhead,
mm-hmm.
he played pretty decently at times. I mean, it wasn't spectacular, but we know the Broncos are a bad team right now and an offensive line that is just
terrible,
abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
And so any quarterback behind that offensive line is going to struggle. I don't care if it's, you know, Patrick Mahomes. At some point, you got to have a little bit of time to throw, and Russell hasn't had that. So I still have to believe in the right system, and he wasn't in the right system this year. And part of that was his own doing, by the way. We all know this. He wants to be a pocket passer, but he's not. That's not his skill set right now and may never be. So if you put him in the right system and do some good things in that system, like we saw yesterday, I thought Justin Outen called a pretty decent game, gave Russell a chance to make some plays. I still think Russell has good football left. Is he an elite guy? I'll have to see that to believe it. But you can go far if you have a good quarterback and then a good team around. They got the offensive line, they've got to revamp that thing.
It's been years since this has been a good offensive line. I'm trying to think of when we have not had this conversation. We definitely had it with the Trevor Siemians, the Paxton Lynch, that kind of era. I mean, how long has it been since this has not been an issue?
Well, I mean, even in the Super Bowl 50 year, we know defense led the way that year, and the Broncos statistically did not get good quarterback play from Manning and Osweiler that particular season. We know Peyton was better before that when they played the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. That was, I think, the record-setting year with, the 55 touchdown passes. So I agree with you. I mean, John Elway tried every possible option he could think of at right tackle, and it never came together. They have not had a great offensive line in a long time. Would decades be fair? I mean, I'm thinking off the top of my head. I don't want to go too hyperbolic here, but it's been a long time, Julie. You know that. Broncos country knows that.
I know good offensive linemen are so rare to get, and they don't go on the free agency market, because if they are on the free agency market, then there's something wrong, right? Because it's so hard to get a good offensive lineman. Is it scouting? Is it not the priority if they get an early pick? I know it's the most unsexy thing out there to draft an offensive lineman. But God, at what point is it just a necessity? It's a must.
Right now, it's a must for this team, especially because the Broncos have to run the ball. And they're struggling to do that with any kind of consistency. They have not invested draft capital, especially towards the top of the draft, in offensive linemen in years. And I know the year they drafted Noah Fant, they really needed a tight end, but they missed on Noah Fant.
Yeah.
You know, when they needed a wide receiver. And up until the back half of this season, Jerry Jeudy hadn't lived up to the draft position, in my opinion. I think he's starting to now, and I've seen enough to say, give that guy the fifth year option because you got to keep him, despite some callers.
I heard that yesterday.
That's a whole nother story. Uh-huh. But they haven't made offensive line a priority. I know that the draft capital is a little slimmer. They do have the first round pick that they got from Miami via San Francisco in the Bradley Chubb trade. I wouldn't be surprised to see them trade back and split that into two second rouners or something like that once the draft comes around, just because they have some needs. We didn't think at the beginning of the year they were going to have to look at the wide receiver room. I think they've got to look at the wide receiver room now. So all of a sudden, after a season like this, you start going, oh, maybe there are more needs than we thought. But to me, offensive line, and as a part of that defensive line, have to always be part of the equation, because the Broncos on the O-line are just, it's painful. It's really painful at times.
Well, I don't think we're ever going to know what Russell Wilson still has left if they don't shore up that line.
Got to give him help.
You got to give him help. Did you see after the game yesterday? I'm sure you did. So there was some of his teammates last week came out and defended him. And he did seem sincere. He got a little emotional about the guys that defended him. There were a couple hokey things. It was like a 2 minute that he kind of went off on that subject. But I thought that was pretty genuine, that maybe at this point, because sometimes when he says things like loss after loss of, well, we just got to believe we're going to do it. And it's like, oh, my God, enough. I felt like the comments yesterday were he's realizing he needs more than just himself and his belief and all the cliches that he always says.
I feel like a lot of times Russell does come across as sincere. It's not always maybe the timing of things. I mean, the let's ride went on too long, right?
Yes.
When the season started the way it did.
Yeah.
As one example.
Yes.
It was like, okay, we can ditch that until we start winning. The Broncos never really started winning. And so at some point that got dropped, which was a really good thing because we're not riding anywhere except right down off the cliff.
Yeah.
As one example. But to your point, yes, that came across as sincere to me, just like Jerry Jeudy came off very sincere about defending Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. and other guys did too. Just like Dalton Reisner came off as sincere when he said, look, I shouldn't have pushed Brett Rypien. We're friends. It was the heat of the moment. I get that. They own that. I appreciate that. You know, Randy Gregory's got to get his head on right and not get into a scuffle after getting embarrassed on Christmas Day. But at least he came out and said, that wasn't a good moment for me. That's not the right way to do it. You got to prevent yourself You have to avoid getting into that position in the first place, but at least we're starting to see a little bit of accountability. Mm-hmm. So with Russell, I know the way he is rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but I mean, I'm not in the locker room every day. I'm not in the offices every day, so I don't really know what he's like, but I'd much rather have a leader of my team be out there professing positivity and not airing the dirty laundry of what's going on, as opposed to a guy who's going to be chirping behind people's back to reporters. That's just me, though.
Let's talk more about Russell Wilson and where this team is headed as far as the next head coach and the relationship with Russell Wilson. You would think it has to change. We'll be right back.
Hey, let me take a minute to talk to you about Boyer's Coffee. Man, I love me some Boyer's Coffee. One of my favorite sponsors is Boyer's Coffee. Life is about simple pleasures, and Boyer's Coffee fits that bill. Nothing better than starting your day with a cup of your favorite coffee. like Rocky Mountain Thunder or Denver Blend or Aspen Gold. I haven't tried that yet, but I'm going to. Or if you prefer flavored coffee, then just get ready for some amazing choices. Head to Boyers.com to order some coconut cream, chocolate mousse, or the online exclusive eggnog coffee. Believe me, I'm having me some eggnog coffee during the holidays. If you're in the area, stop by their coffee truck and cottage at 73rd and Washington to order custom-made lattes, cappuccinos, or espressos. Now, that doesn't sound amazing. It's because it is. And always remember, Boyers can be found at your favorite grocery stores, and that includes Walmart, Sam's Club, and Costco. Boyers Coffee, the legendary Rocky Mountain Roaster since 1965.
We're back on the Dave Logan Podcast. It is episode 151. Dave will be back next week. We will be wrapping up the regular season as the Broncos will host the Chargers on Sunday. Is the time TBA still on that one?
Still TBA as we talk, yes, but it is going to be on Sunday.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Why is the time TBA?
Because they want to put some games on Saturday, and I think they probably want certain matchups.
Okay.
And based on the playoff positioning. So I think, from what the league said, sometime around or after the Monday night football game, they will release who's playing what days, what times.
What are you going to be paying attention to? And I want to get back to the Russell Wilson and the next head coach and what that relationship is going to look like or maybe should look like. What are you looking for in the last game of the season? And even yesterday against the Chiefs, it was, you know what? It was nice to watch a game that was competitive, right?
Yes.
And at Arrowhead, that is a really tough place to play. That was nice. I don't know if I take, you know, there were, Jerry Rosberg.
Yes.
Shuffled a little bit in responsibilities. I don't know if any of that's going to matter. Or is anybody going to be left, at least on the coaching staff? Kubiak, probably.
I don't know that. Right. I mean, as I look at it, I think there's a couple of possibilities of coaches that could be back. I think Ejiro Averro, the DC.
Yes, if he doesn't get a job.
Could be back. Now, that's going to depend on who the new head coach is and whether or not he already has a DC in mind.
Yeah.
Remember, if it is Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, Averro and Harbaugh were on the same staff when Harbaugh was the coach of the 49ers. Averro spent some years there on that staff. With Jerry Rosberg, I think because he has been such a breath of fresh air in his leadership, in his candor, in his professionalism, I think people would like to see Jerry Rosberg stick around. Now, think of this. He worked for a long time in Baltimore under John Harbaugh. If Jim Harbaugh becomes the head coach of the Broncos, could there be John saying, hey, Jim, you know, hey, bro, could you
literally bro?
Yeah, literally find right. a place for Jerry, maybe special teams coordinator. But again, does Jim Harbaugh or any head coach have a guy in mind already? I don't know. It's all speculation at this point. But as far as Clint Kubiak, I don't know, Julie. I think other than Averro and now potentially Rosberg, if he even wants a full-time assistant position at his age, and I don't know if he wants to be in the grind like that right now, not that he's not capable because of his age, but just because does he want that lifestyle right now with where he is? I don't see any other coach on this staff being back. I could be wrong. I don't know that it really matters, but I think Kubiak might be a stretch.
Is there any chance Averro gets this job? Is that okay? Now he's done a wonderful job in his, but is this franchise, can this franchise handle another first year? Doesn't work. I don't think the answer, as talented as this guy is, I think the answer is no.
If I'm ownership and I've done my homework, my thought is we need John Fox 2.0. We need a veteran coach to come in who's had some success to steady the ship. That's not the end goal. The end goal is Super Bowls. The end goal is becoming a championship team again, an organization on the field again. But the first step is just be respectable in how you do things. I think Dan Quinn, if it's not Harbaugh, if it's not Peyton, guys who have been in the NFL and been successful before, then a guy like Dan Quinn makes a lot of sense. And so as talented as Coach Avero is and as great of a job as he's done with the defense, I don't think if I were in the shoes of making the decisions that another, a fourth straight first-time head coach would be the direction I go. Because ultimately, you're rolling the dice with any coach. Broncos have rolled the dice with first-timers now three straight times.
Mm-hmm. And it's getting worse.
Well, Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio, Nathaniel Hackett. And whether, you know, Shane Steichen's done a great job in Philly. As Benjamin Albright has reported for KOA, he'll likely get an interview. Sorry. I want, again, if it's me, I want a veteran guy just to steady the ship. The first thing the Broncos need, and that's why I think Jerry Rosberg's been so appealing. He hasn't been a head coach, but he's been in the league a long time. He knows how the operation works, and he hasn't been afraid to come in and say, we got to be better here. Sorry. Hey, guys, you're putting the pads on Thursday. Huh? Yeah. Get it. Get your butts out there and let's get to work. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't been afraid to make those decisions. That's been refreshing to me.
So this leads to when we talk about the next head coach, I agree. It's got to be a veteran. It's got to be a veteran coach that's well respected in what he has done in his experience. That leads to the Russell Wilson relationship. And I think that, and I know you and you had this thought, and I heard Dave have a conversation as well, that coach has to come in and be very decisive on things and very decisive on, I know, Russell, you've been told this before that maybe, you know, you could do it this way. It didn't work. Whatever you want to include in that, whatever, how he wanted to play. I don't know if getting the office is the big deal. I don't know if having your own quarterback coach, I don't know. Like, come on. I think that coach he has to have a good relationship, but he's got to be very decisive on what he wants to do.
I look at it this way. If I'm Greg Penner and whoever in the ownership group is involved in the search, Kerry Penner, right? Rob Walton, Greg Penner said Condoleezza Rice is going to be involved at some level. And that was the only other sort of ancillary owner or whatever the right term is, that he said would be involved. There'll probably be others. George Payton will be leaned on heavily. Those are Greg Penner's words. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, okay, as we identify candidates, what are we going to ask them about? And the first topic is, what's your thoughts on Russell Wilson's ability level? And what's your thoughts on getting him playing better than he played this year? That's topic number one,
Yeah. Period.
Once you work out, okay, you have this much control, who has say, what's the relationship with George going to be like? When it comes to crafting the team and the roster building, that's the first topic. And if the new head coach candidate doesn't agree with the owner's opinion on what they want to see, on to the next guy. It's really that simple. They have to get the Russell Wilson thing right. Look, people have said, well, just cut him and take the $107 million cap hit. Aside from it being totally unrealistic, I know you agree with this, Julie. If that's the cap hit, you might as well keep him and hope that he still has good football left. And if he doesn't, then you could take a lesser cap hit going into 2024. So there's no point in hamstringing yourself to the tune of 50% of the salary cap or so when you don't have to. That doesn't make any sense when what they've said is we believe that Russell Wilson has better football in them. And they might as well find out about that, because $107 million cap hit isn't feasible for anybody.
No, I mean, give the guy a chance. I know that he had a lot of responsibility in this season, but he also didn't get the thing. Hackett may be a very knowledgeable football person. He may be a very good guy. It didn't help that he was first year, and every coach had never been a coach at that level.
Right.
So the injuries didn't help. I know it starts with Russell Wilson, but my gosh, give him more weapons, give him a chance, and then make a decision. When you're talking about a cap hit, you know, like that, you have to.
You can barely field a team otherwise, and that's just not feasible. And what is it going to say to any potential new head coach when you tell them, oh, by the way, you're going to have, you know, $107 million cap hit or whatever the actual number is. It's somewhere in that vicinity. That's not going to make it a very appealing job either, because I think a lot of coaches will come in and say, look, we need Russell Wilson to be good. That's the guy that we have right now, and we're down draft picks. Salary cap situation's an issue. Now we've got to go solve the quarterback situation. Now, the answer to the quarterback situation is Russell Wilson for next year. After that, different conversation if we get more of this kind of football. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is, I think what you alluded to is the owner's conversation and George Payton's conversations with Russell Wilson. It's going to be like, look, this is how we're doing things. You're our guy, but we got to do things a different way. And just like the Broncos trusted Russell Wilson when they signed him by giving him all the things that he asked for, I think now, after the season that the Broncos just went through and Russell being a part of it and not the only reason it went south for sure, it's time for Russell Wilson now to trust that the ownership has his best in mind for the coach they want to bring in, the system they want to bring in, and the goal of playing winning football again, and Russell being the centerpiece of that offensively.
He doesn't want this to be his legacy.
No, no. He still believes and wants to win a Super Bowl and multiple Super Bowls. What are the chances of that happening if you continue to act in the way that got you to four wins through 16 games of this season? Probably not very high. I think Russell's a smart guy, and I think he will put in the work. And if his talk that we've heard about belief and integrity and character and overcoming adversity are sincere, which I believe they are, I think we'll see that reflected in the approach that he takes in the offseason and heading into working with the new staff.
I just had a flashback when you mentioned Super Bowl of, remember at this very start of the season, Tim Patrick saying, I think he said like Super Bowl or bust. That seems about right. That's what I in my right. head, I'm laughing like.
Before Tim got hurt, right?
Right. Just the expectations and the dialogue going on and the reality of what happened is pretty mind-boggling.
It is.
But it is what it is. Okay, so as we approach the last game, I'm going to go all the way back to the question I asked after the break. What are we looking for on Sunday against the Chargers?
Well, what do you want to see?
I want to see a continuation. I want to see Russell Wilson make some plays, right? I'm just going to understand that he's going to get sacked multiple times. He's not going to have enough time. Like, that's not going to get fixed on Sunday. But if he can put together some more drives, some longer pass plays, right? Like I want to see. I like, you know, they have some different names with the running game. Like who's going to kind of separate themselves. As far as who calls what on, you know, what game plan, I don't care about that, right?
I want to see steps forward too, Julie. I think it's important. And I think it was important that they didn't get blown out at Arrowhead. Played a good game. I look back at that game and the fact they had a chance to take the lead in the fourth quarter late in the game was thrilling to me. I mean, it was a great game. It was a fun game to watch, even though I didn't think the Broncos were ever going to win just because I can't trust that. No. I can't invest in that, right?
Yeah.
Emotionally. But the fact that they hung in there and the fact to me that that shouldn't be the standard. But given the way the season's gone,
they didn't get blown out.
Right. Yeah. They didn't get blown out. They made a game and they pushed the Chiefs, who have kind of some of their own issues if you look at it from their perspective.
Yeah.
But I want to see that again. It's a divisional game. Try and go out with a win, which in the grand scheme of things isn't going to make a difference as far as will the Broncos make these changes? Won't it's not going to matter. They're going to make the changes that they're already said they're going to make. New coaching staff and all the rest. But if nothing else, maybe it just gives you a little bit of a lighter feel and a little more positivity if you're in that building or if you're a fan to say, all right, even that team could find a way to beat the Chargers. Who knows if Justin Herbert plays because the Chargers are already in the playoffs. I don't care about any of that. Go find a way to win a game. Go do some good things. Leave this terrible season on a winning note. And in and of itself, in the moment, at least everybody can smile a little bit, still knowing that there's a ton of work to do for this organization.
I want to thank you for filling in multiple times in the terrible season.
It's been fun. It's been fun.
It has. It well, actually,
that's what I do, though. I mean, I'm the terrible guy.
No. And we just have to believe that we are going to have, and it's going to be, we're going to have better things to talk about. And we may find this out right sooner rather than later. If they've already contacted, according to reports, Harbaugh. And did Penner say that they were going to start an official process right after the season? So we should know, I mean, we should be able to start talking about some positive changes, hopefully really quickly.
Right. Well, we're on the countdown now to Black Monday.
Yeah.
For coaches, the right. Monday after the regular season. And then I think all the searches get put in place, the interviews get put in place. And I'm interested to follow that process and just to see who the Broncos identify as candidates they want to talk to and how many. Because George Payton said maybe we didn't cast the net wide enough last time. They interviewed 10 coaches.
Yeah.
And that seemed like a lot. So I'm interested to follow it. I'm generally optimistic, as you know. I think people who've listened to Broncos React or just listened to me in general over the years know that I try to be optimistic but also realistic. I'm fully aware of where this team is. They're in the trash heap right now, and they've got to find a way to work themselves out and start the road to respectability and beyond. But I'm also excited. I'm excited to see what they do. I'm excited for another fresh start. It's not my money. It's not my decisions. I want to see how this new ownership kind of conducts this whole offseason, because I think they're going to do some good things. I'm hopeful, and I will give them the opportunity to show that they can make some good decisions, because I think they're really smart people. So I'm excited. I mean, it's more fun to be excited than it is to be kind of down depressed. In the dumps and depressed.
Yeah,
for sure.
No,
but it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate the chance to visit with you. And of course, you know what I think about you and Dave, and I love the podcast. So thanks for letting me sit in from time to time.
I'm sure we'll be talking again in 2023. Dave will be back next week. We will wrap up the regular season for the Broncos next week on episode 152, which I know is just going to be joy to Dave's ears. We'll talk about it next week.
DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is pulling you in the center of the action with endless ways to make it rain this week. Sports betting has never been this convenient. With DraftKings Sportsbook, you can bet from anywhere the app is available. And if you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new players a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code Logan, my last name. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet, from live betting to betting on your favorite players. They really do it all. Check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day this week to cash in on their daily odds boosts. New boosts are posted every single day for all the biggest sporting events. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure. It's really easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money whenever you want to. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Logan, L-O-G-A-N, when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code Logan to get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.